Well, I got to go on this Mexico mission trip. I love youth mission trips, and this was my first with RPCLG Youth. You know, mission trips weren't part of my experience growing up, so my only experience with youth mission trips is as pastor, mom, chaperone, leader. And my very first mission trip with youth was in 2012, and it was not anything that I had anticipated or planned. It was a last-minute necessity. At the church where I served as a pastor, part of my responsibility was the youth and the children's program. So when the youth director resigned a few weeks before the trip, I had a choice to make. Either I would cancel the trip or I would go. So I went. Didn't know exactly what I was getting myself into. It was an international trip to serve an AIDS camp in the Bahamas. Again, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but God showed up. It surprised me how deeply God used that trip as we served people who were living in humble shacks because they had AIDS. They couldn't live with their family in that culture. I found that I forged these deep connections with both those we serve, but with the youth. And these were youth whom I'd come to know, their parents and their grandparents even. And I can close my eyes and I can still picture these beloved young faces. And I remember what we experienced together. You know, but like most mission trip experiences, sometimes it's a challenge as you come down from a spiritual high. Anyone have that experience ever? For me, that challenge was found in the transportation back home to Chicago. Bad weather and a canceled connection flight had me stranded in Atlanta at the airport overnight with 25 students without luggage. I was low on chaperones because some of the chaperones were on a flight whose connection made it. I prayed fervently about what to do, and God raised up so many helpers it was almost ridiculous, including this church lady whose job it was to drive an airport shuttle and who decided that taking care of us was God's calling for her that evening. We got motel rooms near the airport. I slept on the floor of the freshman girls' room with my ear to the hallway. Yes, we all got home safely. But then the next year, I had a new director, and he was young, not very experienced, so I decided I would go again. Well, partly I wanted to be with the youth again. We drove from Chicago, yay, no airports, from Chicago to New York to Long Island to work on Superstorm Sandy cleanup. It was a great trip as we served these families with young children, and we played with the children, and we helped repair these houses. We slept in a church, and on the last evening, we had a communion service that was transcendent. I don't know how else to describe it. A spiritual high, but again, reality was going to break through in the form of transportation. Yet again, the church bus broke down in rural Pennsylvania. I was uncertain what to do. Again, I prayed fervently, and God was gracious and obvious with help. The youth were awesome and patient and supported each other. And much as I saw with our youth, the older youth encouraged and helped the younger youth. While I provisioned us from Walmart with food and frisbees and soccer balls as we tried to figure out how we were going to get home, I saw Jesus through that trip. And unfortunately, due to unhappy circumstances, I had to leave that church soon after that second trip. And I deeply felt the loss of the relationship with those youth who helped me see Jesus, not just in service, but in the crazy transportation mishaps that we had afterwards. And I've shared that with some of you, how I grieve the loss of that church and how richly I have been blessed by this church, by Pastor Dave inviting me in to have a place to be a pastor with all of you. I've loved preaching and teaching adults and teaching fourth and fifth grade, and yet there's been a missing piece. It's been our youth. That's been the missing piece. So I told Steve I'd like to go on the Mexico youth mission trip. I don't know if I shared all my transportation curses, if he needed another adult, because I liked the idea of connecting with our youth in service. And in Mexico, I saw our youth flourish, take on challenges of working together on a cold, windy site, pushing through the challenges of deadlines and cold weather to build two houses. It was wonderful, but there was more. On our last day at our site, I wasn't at Callie's site. I was at the other site. But we had a similar experience as we circled around inside this roof, underneath this house that we had built together. As we prayed and as Nolan, who was our translator, translated, I felt God's grace pour over us, pour over me, indeed restoring what had been lost, restoring what had died, what I had been mourning. I experienced Jesus in that moment. I did. It was more than I could have asked for. Well, and I chuckle about God's sense of humor, too, because I even had a smallish transportation challenge, didn't I? You know, to round out the full experience, you know, to make me really pray up until the end. As we got ready to leave, my car wouldn't start. We charged the battery with cables and tried several times, and it didn't start. Jeremiah knew all about cars. He had lots of different ideas. And finally, we had given up. It wasn't going to start. Or I should say, the knowledgeable people gave up. I still didn't know to give up or not. I didn't know better. I was still praying. Then I felt this movement, this jolt of the Holy Spirit. And I looked, and I thought, maybe I should start it one more time. And it started. Hallelujah. I experienced Jesus in that moment, too. It was strange. It linked me back to those transportation mishaps, not as though I carried a curse, but indeed, instead, as if I carried a connection to God, God's presence blessing me. You know, friends, sometimes we ask for one thing, and you get something else, maybe something you didn't want or something you didn't know that you needed. And our lesson, our second lesson this morning from the Gospel of John is like that. Some people wanted something from Jesus, but they got something else, something bigger, something better, maybe even a little puzzling to them. So please pray with me before we read this passage. Lord, we yearn to see Jesus in our midst. We hunger for meaning and we hunger for hope. Lord, as we read your word about some worshipers who asked to see Jesus, Lord, may you reveal him to us in a fresh, life-giving way this morning. Amen. So our lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 26. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think this is such an interesting passage. Jesus' followers ask for one thing, and they get something completely different, something unexpected, but actually something better. Jesus had entered Jerusalem for the festival of Passover, just as had many other Jews from across the Roman Empire. They come to all the major festivals. And at these festival times, the city of Jerusalem was 10 times the usual population. And in their crowds, there were two classes of people. There were the observant Jews who could worship in the temple. And then there are the Greeks, the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. They were always left outside the temple. Even if they were believers in the God of Israel, they were outsiders. And so these outsiders, these Greeks, they find a disciple in the huge crowd, and they ask for Jesus. What are they seeking? We don't know exactly, but we do know the viral news that was spreading around Jerusalem at the time. Maybe they heard of the dramatic resurrection of Lazarus from his tomb, Jesus' friend from nearby Bethany. Maybe these Greeks needed healing. Maybe they'd heard about the crowds that surrounded Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and they were merely curious. But maybe these seekers were serious students of the Hebrew scriptures, and they can't go in the temple. But here, this renowned teacher is outside. Maybe they can ask their questions. You know, maybe these seekers just had a mix of motives, you know, kind of like us, a mix of needs. That's how we approach Jesus, right? With a mix of needs, a mix of motives. And so who do the seekers find to ask about Jesus? They find Philip. He's the disciple with the Greek-sounding name. Maybe he seemed accessible. I beg you, sir, we want to see, we want to experience, we want to know Jesus. And Philip, he doesn't know what to do with these seekers, so he asks Andrew. You know, these disciples, they're making it up as they go along, right? They have experienced that Jesus has been open to those who they could have expected to be rejected, sinners, tax collectors, children. So they don't want to get this wrong. So together, Andrew and Philip go to Jesus, and they tell Jesus about these seekers. And then they get a really confusing answer. What would have confused me, I bet it confused them. They ask Jesus this one thing, do you want to see these Greeks? And he doesn't answer directly, no. Now we know in hindsight that Jesus didn't have much time left, not much time until the cross. His hour is coming. Good Friday is ahead. So instead, Jesus answers the questions that perhaps they should have asked, the big underlying questions. Jesus, how are you going to respond to all these people and give them what they need, what they want? Jesus, now you have the Gentiles asking after you. What are you going to do? How does Jesus plan to respond to these outsiders? Well, he's planning to bring them all into the kingdom of God. He's planning for that next festival to be different. The next festival, the outsiders won't be kept outside of the action. Jesus is going to be the seed that dies and brings new life to anyone who seeks him. One of the practices of holiness for the people of Israel at that time, at festival time, was to sacrifice both livestock and grain, recognizing that God was the source of all that is good, recognizing the gap between them and God, their needs and brokenness. And we often remember Passover as this time connected with the sacrifice of a lamb, remembering God's protection of his people. And yet, wheat was also a sacrifice at this time, heavy laden sheaths of wheat, full of little seeds, wheat seeds, grain. It was a source of bread, the staff of life, a daily source of nourishment. Remember, give us this day our daily bread, teaches Jesus to pray. Jesus' life and death will be the planted seed that brings new life for those Gentile outsiders. Outsiders like us. Because Jesus has a plan that the next festival will be completely different. The outsiders will become insiders. All the world will be welcomed inside after Jesus' death and resurrection and triumph over the grave. See, that's how Jesus is going to respond to these people asking questions. Those Greeks were curious. But they're going to get much more than simply their questions answered. After Jesus has planted the seed of life, with his death, all people will be welcomed. All people will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. Because what's coming after Passover is Pentecost. The spring festival, the first wheat harvest. That's 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Jesus' death and resurrection comes a harvest for these outsiders. Remember the story, Pentecost, that harvest festival? That's when the Holy Spirit descended upon all the people, and all the good news of Jesus Christ was heard in every tongue, every nation invited in, foreshadowing the day when language will not divide the children of God. Foreshadowing the day when we don't need gifted translators, but that we all hear and see and experience Jesus together. Pentecost is coming, that harvest of love planted by the death of Jesus. Pentecost is coming when grace breaks through language, race, national origin. And the grace that I saw break through in Mexico that bathed us with God's light as Nolan prayed for our homeowner inside that home we built. That felt like a harvest of grace. This is how Jesus told us that our lives can be a harvest of grace, that we follow him, that we plant our seed. Life is to be used, not hoarded. Connections with the world are to be made. If you hold on to the seed, it merely dries up. It dries up and dies for no purpose. Here's a sheath of wheat, and in it are little seeds. To plant the seed of our life to release into the soil, that brings new life, but that feels risky, right? Soil is dark and messy. The seed will change and germinate. Change is hard. It will absorb the nutrients in the soil, nutrients from life that has died and life that is decomposed. That's hard. Sometimes it feels safer not to dive into that soil and just hold on to our little seed, hold on to our life. But here's the true reality. You aren't able to control your days. You can't preserve this seed of your life forever. At best, you'll end up a dried-up seed. If you're someone who yearns for new life, if you yearn to see Jesus, you'll want to loosen that grip. Embrace the soil and plant it. Do you yearn to see Jesus? I do. Now, each of us are different. What do we hold on to tightly? What do we use to squeeze the life out of our seed, missing that one precious opportunity to plant our time and our effort beyond ourselves? Our youth in Mexico had the experience of releasing their grip on their own comfort, their own self-interest. They released some of the control of their seed. They planted seeds and they saw a harvest of grace. I know that we saw Jesus. So friends, how will you plant your precious life? It's Jesus' invitation to you and to me. Friends, let's plant seeds in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.